All right, if you guys have your Bibles, please open them up. We are going to continue our mini-series going through, we're just calling this worship. And hey, if God's got me on this journey, I'm going to take you guys with me. And so go in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10 again, if you can. Go to the end of the chapter, Luke chapter 10, and please stand with me if you're able to. Looking at the clock, I'm going to try to keep this somewhat brief here. And prepare your hearts, because at the end we may have a time to be able to pray for one another. We all need to hear from the Lord. Amen? And we're going to look at that here. So Luke chapter 10, we're going to start reading at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you again for your holy word. The grass withers, that's us as people. The flower fades, and that's all the beauty of the flesh of this world fades away. But the word of our God stands forever. And we love the fact that your word is the only word that has integrity. Your word still stands with its principles. And the things that are quoted about Jesus here almost 2,000 years ago, they still apply today. And so we ask that you would open up our understanding of your timeless truth found in your word of truth here. Please equip us, minister to us, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys can have a seat if you would, please. Here's what a guy named Warren Wiersbe once said. He said and wrote, "Mary was occupied with Jesus. Martha was preoccupied with herself. What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. For submission leads to obedience and service." Warren Wiersbe. So it's important. It's important, even as Mr. Warren Wiersbe describes here, about what we do with Christ. Think about that. That's far more important than what we do for Christ. This is a great illustration of this particular paragraph in the entire Bible. So in this picture here of worship that we see, and we're continuing to see on this journey, going through this mini-series, seeing this picture, this illustration of Mary, we see it's a great picture of worship. And notice it says here about Mary. It says, look at this in verse 39. It says that Mary heard his word. We're going to dig into this a little bit more. So last time we talked about sitting at the feet of Jesus. This time, in part two, if I can call it that today here, we're going to talk about hearing his voice, hearing from God. Do you know this is why God brought you in here? There's a lot of reasons. But you didn't come in here. I hope you didn't come in here to hear about Jesus or learn the Bible from a guy like me. There's a lot of better Bible teachers out there. But God brought you in specifically today because he wants you to hear from him. And God willing, through much grace, I could share a little bit here about how you and I could better hear his voice. It's important that you and I would spend time in prayer, that we would worship him, that we would hear his voice. That's why. Some of us, we love music. We love the beautiful sound, like even my wife's voice. You got a great voice. You don't want to hear me singing. I can sing, but as we might say, God hears our voices, right? He hears the hearts, but we got to hear the voices, right? So God loves everybody's voice. He loves everybody's heart. I love my wife's voice, singing more than mine. So it's important, though, that as you and I pray to the Lord, as we worship him at his feet, like this picture of Mary, that you would hear from him. And God has so burdened my heart that even as we're going through this, the teacher in me is methodical. I'm very analytical. Going through this book that we call 1 Corinthians, I want to just stay on track. So pray for me, because the teacher in me is like, no, we go through the Bible. This is our second time going through the New Testament. We're going through every book, every chapter. I even look at every Greek word in the original language to bring out all these little nuances. And it's as if Jesus might say, so what? Are you getting closer to me? And are you helping them to hear from me? So you guys don't come in here to hear from me. I hope you're not. So we pray, and I've been praying, God, bring people in that need to be trained and equipped, and you want to raise up worshipers, people that will worship him. After all, after we die, after we pass away, and we're with the Lord eternally in his presence, we're going to be worshipers at his feet, aren't we? And you and I, this is practice time now. I love that. We're practicing for the eternal choir. Amen? So hearing his voice, as we've been discussing with the servant team earlier, it's an important role for a pastor of a church. That's actually written in our bylaws. You can read about this in Acts chapter 6, and I'm going to put this on the display here. You could turn there or just read here with me. In Acts chapter 6, the early church with the apostles, here's what happened. In verse 2, Acts 6 verse 2, it says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually. Notice that. This is what convicts my heart. It says continually. It doesn't say sometimes. Continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So we see here in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, that really the pastor, a shepherd who is an under-shepherd under Jesus, the good shepherd, like myself here. Pastor just means shepherd, a sheep herder. Holy Spirit brings him in. God brought you in. I didn't bring you in. Look at that. How do you do that when you're trying to plant a church? I don't know. I still don't know. We could teach about it, but a lot of people flop. Actually, most church plants flop and fail. But when God has his hand on it, I can't claim anything on it. None of us can. Who gets the credit then? God. He gets the credit. He gets the glory. But the pastor's role, the shepherd's role, is to focus primarily on prayer and the ministry of God's word. So senior pastor's role, even my role in this church, is to focus on those things, on prayer, on the ministry of the word. It's not just studying the word, the ministry, ministering God's word, feeding the people from the pulpit, standing in the stead of Christ. I don't replace Christ, but it's as if he is here wanting to feed you. And he's always going to point you to and through his word. Amen? And I'm going to point you to Jesus, the good shepherd. I'm accountable to him. I'm just an under-shepherd under him, the good shepherd. And he wants to feed you. So the senior pastor's role in a church, even as it is for my role here, is prayer. Why? It's not my personal prayer request. This is not what it's pointing to. You don't have Peter, James, and John on the apostles sitting there like, yeah, you know, my wife, she wants a new boat. And we want to go on a vacation. That's not the kind of prayer. And while I might pray, we might pray for these kind of things, it's so that they can minister to the church. So if you get the context of the text, you see what a senior pastor's role is. I need to pray, and please pray for me. Please pray for us here. I need to hear from the Lord. I need to know what he wants to tell you. I don't know what you're going to go through during the week. And I don't want to know, not in a mean way, but even with us here. Think about that. Even if we went around the room here, it would take us a couple days just to kind of get that out, and then it'll change by the time all that's out. There's just a lot of stuff going on. Everybody's got a personal prayer request. But God knows. He knows what you're going through now. He knows your challenges. He knows the things that he's allowed or appointed. And he knows what you're going to go through tomorrow in your walk, in your marriage, with your family. And he wants to speak to you. So yes, as we, in Calvary Chapel, we might exposit the word. Okay, I'm a Bible teacher, but as a shepherd, as a pastor, I also want to have the right that I could hear from him as I stand here on his behalf to tell you what I believe he's wanting you to hear. And no, this is not a prophesy. I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you he greatly grips my heart, and he's wanting me, just like Mary, to be and to remain that worshiper. And I believe there's something subsequent to that next, and it's you. That if he gets me and us, this is why we're doing more worship music on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and why we're pausing a little bit on these Sundays and Wednesdays. So I want to stand here as his representative, not just to tell you and to say thank you for praying for me, because I believe he's convicting my heart to get more into worship, but also as he gets me to go there so that we as a congregation, I believe he's wanting to equip you all to be better worshipers. Not just me, but you. So as I say, thank you for praying for me. And for the folks that serve here, thank you for serving the Lord here faithfully. Some of you guys for months and years. Thank you. Because it's allowed me the space and time to be able to hear from him. To be able to have a time of prayer. To minister more through the word. But what's happened now is I believe he's convicting me, but not just for me. So I want to say thank you, but also apologize to my Lord, and also publicly say to you guys, sorry, because I could be so stubborn. My wife knows about 3 years ago, I told her, pray for me. I think God's wanting me to stay more involved in the music ministry and more worship. Some of you guys know, you've heard me say that. I'm like, oh, and then I struggle. I'll go and I'm not even sleeping enough, God. Try to stay away from coffee. I'm like back on coffee now a little bit. Because some of us, we just exist with coffee. I'm like, I don't want to just exist with that. We've all got those challenges. It's always like time and money, right? All of us, including me. And so about 3 years ago or so, God was greatly convicting my heart. And I'm like, oh no, God, we got to turn the page. Come on, we got to get the next chapter, the next verse. But that can get dead and dry. And I'm not saying God's word is dead and dry. But I do know that Jesus said, make disciples. He said, teaching them to observe all I've commanded. Not teach them to hear. Teach them to observe. And sometimes when we're focusing on what God wants in the word, whether it's me or you, focusing on prayer, I'm not just telling him my prayer request. I'm actually asking him, God, what do you want for your people? My family knows. I even told Joshua yesterday, pray for me. And he helped me with a lot of this too. I'm like, thank you. Because a lot of times I'll just kind of wrestle through this and wrestle with the text throughout the week for every Sunday and every Wednesday. It's like some of us that know what pastors go through. It's like, good Lord, how do you go through this? Only by his grace and strength. And as we go through this and wrestle through the text, I'm like, I'm wanting to know, what does he want to say? What do you want to feed your people? Because there's a lot of ways that we can go with the text. I can share a lot, maybe a little. Maybe he's wanting me to touch on one point. But Lord, what do you want to speak to your people? See, this is why a pastor needs to focus on prayer. Not my personal prayer requests. And I put my needs aside. I want to be more like Christ. To focus on him and you. What is it, Lord, that you want to feed your people? And I believe right now, this space and time, worship. I need to be a better worshiper, and I haven't been. And forgive me, too, because I think about 3 years ago, he's greatly convicted me, and I did a little bit here and there. But he's wanting us, I know for myself, my wife, Susan, to also be more involved in songwriting and song publishing. We've done quite a bit. My wife over there. Yes, pray for us, sweetie. Some of you guys know that's what God used to bring us together. Is through the worship ministry. I remember God breaking my heart. I think it was last week I shared with you guys. There in Southern California, he's telling me, I want you to get a guitar. And I'm like, what? I had no desire to ever want to play guitar. Now I love it. But I remember just being obedient. I'm not that smart, but I'm at least smart enough to go, all right, you said it. I know it's you. You trained me to know how to hear your voice, how to authenticate it's you through the word. And you're giving me conviction, you give me peace, and I don't understand it, but I just got to go. And then later on, I'm like, what am I doing? So he's guided us through this. So just like the first servants in the other church, like we see here in Acts chapter 6, and for you guys serving in the church too, even here, faithfully for months and for years, thank you. because it's given me the space of grace and time to be able to pray and to have the ministry of the word, but also to have that conviction, a space and time to have the conviction of the Lord as he's speaking to us now about this thing of worship. All right, so continuing on, I think he's wanting me to develop in being more of a worshiper. And part of the reason why I say sorry, that, you know, I've been such a stubborn knucklehead. Any of you guys like that? God's got to tell you over and over and over and over, oh, we're in good company. I'm not the only one. I think most of us are kind of like that, right? I just know myself, though. But I think he's been wanting that for us here for a while. But this is why we're doing this mini-series here on worship. Notice here that as we focus, being like in verse 39, being like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and today we're going to talk about a little bit about hearing his word. Just kind of think of this through, letting the Lord breathe this out of my heart and mind. These are guesses. I even put it here because I know we're going to publish this on our website. Some of you guys take screenshots. I want you to know, this is not a prophecy. I'm not prophesying. That's up to the Lord. But a logical, good guess, okay guess might be the three things that might result from God's grace if we continue to focus more on worship here. Number one, our music ministry is going to develop more. And we're seeing even others wanting to donate to them. Like, wow, like someone donated a $1,000 keyboard. We've been wanting like a real one here. We have an okay one at home. It's a little, you know, janky, a little broke here and there. But someone donated for that. And just like some of the other things too. And I've been telling my wife Susan, and we've got to look at this. I told her, you know, understand that in a lot of churches, especially Calvary Chapel type churches, Calvary Chapel is known, and really Pastor Chuck Smith, who's now gone and to be with the Lord, known for worship. In the 60s and 70s, a lot of hippies got saved in Southern California, like where I grew up, where I'm from. And all these hippies, they started developing a new style of music. And it was just a fresh move of God's Spirit. What we now call today contemporary Christian worship predominantly came out of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, the very first Calvary Chapel, during the Jesus Movement time in the 60s and 70s. And what came out about from that is a lot of worship. Now, worship was the fruit. The basis was Bible study. People in the church being brought back to studying through and being taught through the entirety of the Bible and pointing people to Jesus and not man's antiquated devices and things that we might do, these dumb doctrines. But even here, I told my wife, hey, understand that the music ministry, it has a very good potential to be the biggest ministry of a church fellowship, especially a Calvary Chapel type church, because we're typically, and including what God's done with my heart and Susan's, really big focus on worship music. So perhaps God will have us develop the worship ministry more, music ministry. So I can assume it might be that he wants to equip and train and raise up other worshipers here in New York City and beyond. So please pray for that. Also, songwriting. We believe that, at least for myself and Susan, that God's wanting us to be more involved in songwriting. We even connected with, for Calvary Chapel Association, for their worship conferences, we connected with a guy you can pray for us, named Brandon B. He leads all the songwriting workshops, and they had this workshop last week or so. We were in California for the worship conference. He had a songwriting, workshop on bridges. Some of you guys, anybody know what a bridge is in a song? Some of you guys know. Okay. It's a part of a song later on in the song. But we just threw that out there that, okay, he asked, okay, who's got a song that doesn't have a bridge yet? My wife was like, and so basically the whole class was about our song. I'm like, oh, that's a song, Jesus, I Do Confess, written from John chapter 7 that God had me write. And I'm like, I think he's wanting this, but these things just come out of our personal time. Like Mary sitting at his feet. Don't try to really write songs. They just flow like living water is fruit. And so we believe that God's wanting us perhaps to do more songwriting and publishing even as we've done. Who knows? But please pray for us. And maybe he's wanting to equip some of you guys. We were talking with Brandon B. He wants to come out here to minister in New York City. And we might do some worship workshops for that. Pray for us. And perhaps he's wanting to raise up worshipers. These are just guesses. But it seems he's wanting to raise up a generation of more worshipers here. Who knows? Now, if you're here in Luke 10, go to John 10, could you? I'm going to try to make this quick. But John 10, I'm going to pick out a couple verses. Now, this chapter, John chapter 10, as we're looking at worship and Mary being a great picture of worship and hearing his voice, Jesus gives us tons of hints on how to better hear his voice. We're in Luke 10, now we're in John 10. John chapter 10 is traditionally known as the sheep-shepherd relationship. Notice this in verse 3. To him, the doorkeeper opens. Notice it says, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you know that once you're born again, God's coming to live within you? And he wants to speak to you? But many of us don't know it's him. That's why once you get saved, I remember for me it was like 30-ish years ago. I was a DJ and I had, actually maybe, yeah, almost 40 years, I forget how long, long time ago in California. And I had thousands of records. They're all worldly, trashy records. I'm like, I can't play this music. You know, I used to be a DJ in nightclubs and all. He had me give them away. And we're talking, it was like tens of thousands of dollars worth of stuff. I didn't want to sell them. I'm like, just give it away or throw them away. I didn't care anymore. But these are the reasons why when you come to Christ, he starts changing things up within. You perhaps didn't even have to read about it. But he starts speaking to you, starts preaching to your hearts. Who here can testify to that? Say, look at that. Oh, look around the room. See, that's one way you could tell when you're born again, is he starts changing you from the inside out. And you're hearing his voice. You need to know how to hear the voice of the Lord. So he can, notice he says here, lead you out. Look at John 10, verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So you and I got to get to know the voice of the Lord. Notice he says here that we're going to follow him, but we've got to know his voice. See, you as a sheep, so to speak, with Jesus being the good shepherd, you're a good shepherd, he lives within you as a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. He's speaking to you. For those that are saved, he's speaking to you. You're hearing from him, but you got to get to not just hear his voice, get to know his voice. So when he's speaking to you, you're like, that's you. It's not, oh, I got such a good idea. Now we're ripping off his glory. Because if you ever have a really great idea that really works spiritually and for eternity, guess where you got that from? You got it from Jesus, didn't you? Christian, ladies and gentlemen, get to know his voice. So like Mary in Luke 10, how do I hear the voice of Jesus? How do I get to know your voice? Notice this in verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. Notice it says, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And can I just lovingly encourage you, but exhort you of all my little travels, whether East Coast or West Coast, ministering to Christians, whether in a Bible college or in a little Bible study or here or there. As a Christian, you got to get to know the voice of Jesus. Amen? But stop listening to the strange voices. Even from people that call themselves Christians, but when you check out their choices, you look at that, no. Jesus is not going to tell me to sleep around. Jesus is not going to tell me to go out and get drunk. Jesus is not going to, you know, think about that, right? Stop listening to those strange voices. You want to hear the voice of Jesus? If you're born again, you're already hearing his voice. You got to get to know his voice. How? Verse 5. Don't know the voice of strangers. Okay. So think about how the Holy Spirit might be grilling your heart right now and the things he's bringing to your mind right now. Oh, Lord, bring those things up. Whatever those strange voices. For me, I had a big one-eyed God. It was called a TV. One-eyed God. You know, we set up like, ah, it's like a temple. And then I had to get rid of that. And a lot of my friends, I had to stop listening to them. A lot of my Christian friends, come on, you know, they want to, you know, call me to go out and hang out. And what will we do when we hang out? Be just like everybody in the world, go get drunk, act stupid. And we would all call ourselves Christian. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't live this life anymore. guess what they were doing? Listening to strange voices, the voice of the devil, and dragging me as well as many other Christians in. I got sucked up into that. And when I had to repent, like hardcore repent, come to Jesus, tears, I can't believe that when I was a filthy DJ in the world, playing filthy music, dragging hundreds, if not thousands, of kids away from the Lord. And the very first time I believed I heard his voice, I remember being, I think it was in Anaheim, maybe Anaheim Hilton in California. We'd rent out like the biggest ballroom and fill it with kids. I was 19, 20-ish in age. I'm talking a long time ago. I was a DJ getting ready. I was one of those guys, wooka, wooka, scratch. And I was getting ready to play a song on the left side on record. I remember this, seeing the lights and people just kind of sway with the music. And getting ready to drop in a song on the left side. And it's as if the Lord was just greatly rebuking my heart. What are you doing? You're leading them the wrong way. And I'm like, oh, it was like death threat. And I knew what he was telling me, that he wanted me to minister, but to lead them to him. And I was sitting there like looking out. After that time, like, it just rocked my world. And I turned to three of my friends who were Buddhist actually by that time. And I tell them, I think God, just spoke to me. And they all thought I was high. I'm like, no, because to be a DJ, I had to keep my wits about me. I couldn't drink or get high. We would do that later on. I was like one of those worldly Christians. But I remember that time. So Christian, when God speaks to you, are you going to obey? I had to obey, or else I would not be here today with you. So get rid of those strange voices. And let me just turn to another place within this chapter. Look at verse 27. You could read the whole chapter later on. John chapter 10, the sheep-shepherd relationship. John 10, verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He already knows you. But Christian, as you're hearing the voice of Jesus, your good shepherd, you want to follow him. Who here wants to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus? Guess what the prerequisite is? You got to know how to hear his voice. So you're knowing it's him and not a counterfeit voice. Anybody been tricked by the world's voices or worldly Christians? That was me for years. And I had to repent hardcore because I thought I was a Christian. I was not following Christ. And notice he says, again, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The prerequisite, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, get to know the voice of Jesus. He's your good shepherd. And I would be a horrible under-shepherd under Jesus, the good shepherd, if I did not point you to Jesus and his word. Amen? We need to do that. We need to get better at that. Let's go back to Luke 10. We're going to have to close here. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going a little over my time that I allocated. Luke chapter 10, I want to drop this on you. I want you to know this. When you dig in the original language, which was Greek, it's called Koine Greek, where it says about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and notice it says, quote, "heard his word." In the original language, this was written in a way where that action, the verb of heard, it's written in what's called imperfect tense. In other words, it's a continual or repeated action. So one way that you can loosely translate this into English is Mary continued to hear his words. So this is not the, I'm going to spend 10 hours with Jesus one day, and then, good Lord, I'm going to go on vacation for 3 months and not spend any time with him. I'm going to read my Bible for 5 hours, and then for the next month, I'm good. It's a continual sitting at his feet that you might, what? Hear his word. That Mary continued to hear his words. We need to hear from him. We need to continue to sit at his feet. But that what? That we would continue to hear his word. Not what you want to tell him, Christian. Oh, but I got a lot of prayer requests. He even knows what you're going to say before it's formed out of your lips and out of your heart. He still wants you to come to him. God's a good Heavenly Father. Amen. But have we exercised our two ears and one mouth? Think about that. Why do you think he gave you two ears, only one mouth? I remember hearing a Christian say, maybe he wants me to pray to him half as much. No, I think the ratio is far less. Where in this passage do you find Mary telling him what to do? You see Martha. Where in this passage do you see that she's giving him his prayer requests or her prayer requests? Never. And we'll find later on, so look at it. Mary, look at this in verse 42, has chosen, what is that? One thing. Only one thing is needed. So as we close here, Christian, do you know that your entire life can be summed up as this? You have one main need. Now, the psychologists and everybody and the scientists in the world will say, oh, it's a need for water, for air. What about for eternity? You have one need right now today and every day, that you would hear the voice of God. That's your one need. If you focus your entire life on that one thing, you will do well. If you don't, you'll be a bad example for the body of Christ. And I want to lovingly encourage you away from that, but also exhort you that Jesus is your good shepherd. He wants you to know his voice. Not just hear his voice. Get to know his voice. Stop listening to the strange voices, the worldly ways. What are the ways of God? You need to learn how to authenticate that only by and with and through the Word of God. Amen? This is our final authority. Not my opinion, not your opinion, definitely not the world's opinion. And good Lord, definitely not worldly Christians. You need to come to Jesus, sit at his feet, focus on this one thing. We'll actually focus on that more at another time. But we need to close at this point in time. Can we get set up to do more worship as we close here? Perhaps God's brought you in, and he's wanting you to focus on hearing from him. Not just sitting at his feet. We talked about that last week. But with the intent, the purpose that you would hear from him. If so, I'm going to ask that maybe you want prayer. And during our time of worship, I'm going to scoot over here. During our time of worship, musical worship, if you want prayer, I'm going to ask that you would come forward and we could pray for you. You've got all your prayer requests. I'm not asking anybody to stand up and come forward about, oh, pray for me, pray for my dog's sick. That's fine. We can put those on the prayer chain. I'm asking if you want prayer to focus on this one thing, that you would get to know the voice of Jesus, that you would hear from him. I believe God's brought a bunch of you in today. That's why he's brought you to this church. Again, we're a church that believes in the Bible, and we teach through the Bible, but we're a very hands-on Bible teaching church. Hands-on meaning we don't want to just go to church, we want to be the church. We want to pray for you. I believe that's a bunch of you. And whether you've come forward a bunch of times to be prayed for, doesn't matter. Your good shepherd Jesus knows. Okay, so for some of us, maybe we're playing church. Maybe we're going through the routines. And God's brought you to a place where he wants you simply to surrender to him. That you can be prayed for. That you would hear from him. That you would know his voice. If so, whether that's one or a bunch of you, my guess is a bunch of you. I think these are some of the reasons why God's really capturing my heart, because he's wanting to reach you. So forgive me, maybe I've been in the way. But may the good Lord continue to reach you, that you would not only hear his voice, but you would get to know his voice. So I'm going to close with prayer, and then we'll have a time where we could worship some more. But if you want prayer for that, that you would position your life, that you would hear from the Lord. Maybe some of you got to repent. Maybe it's not throwing away thousands of records like I did. Maybe it's your MP3s or CDs or whatever it is. Or maybe it's a bunch of friends that are trying to drag you down and away from God. I'm not sure. But each of you has your challenges just like I do. And if that's you, we simply want to pray for you. So let's all stand, please. And if any of you want to come forward to be prayed for, simply come forward as we worship. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for showing us through the timeless truth in your word how, Jesus, you are the good shepherd. We want to hear your voice, and best, we want to be like Mary at your feet. that we would continue to hear your voice, that we would get to know your voice on all, Lord. It's like that old song, down at your feet is the most high place. That's a place where we have, in your presence, we have the healing. We confess our sins. You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you tell us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to be healed. We need to be cleansed. Teach us to know your voice. And help us to repent away from those strange voices. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's TV. Maybe whatever those things are, God. Each of us has our challenges. Help us, but empower us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.